One story about my mom, just to let you know, it's kind of classic of her. This was a few years ago. She's always had heart trouble, and so one night she was having some chest pains and kind of a smothering feeling, and she told the Lord, she said, you know, if this is the night for me to go home, I'm ready. You take me. And so she laid there a minute, and she realized she had some clothes in the dryer. So she got up, and she got those clothes and folded them, put them away, so if she died during the night, nobody else would have to do that. So she laid back down and said, okay, Lord, now I'm ready. That's kind of the way she was. The funeral is tomorrow, and we're going down this afternoon and be there tomorrow. And she asked me to do her funeral, so if you'll think about it, pray for me tomorrow about 1 o'clock, I'd appreciate it. We're doing a series this summer, 6 messages on questions that the congregation has asked. They took up questions from different people, things that they would want addressed, and these are kind of the topics or central themes that they came up with. And so that's going to kind of guide us through the summer. And this morning, the question is, how do I have a relationship with God? There was a fellow had a little 5-year-old girl. One Sunday morning, he got up, he said, okay, it's time to go to church. And the little 5-year-old, she said, I don't want to go to church. He said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? She said, not if it's like church. And I think sometimes when we talk about how do we have a relationship with God, we think that we're talking about how do we get to heaven. And that's a good question, but it's really not the one I think that we're addressing this morning. The question this morning is not that. Dallas Willard put it this way. He said, the most important question is, he didn't put it this way, he put it kind of like this way. That's the question that we want to address is not what happens if I die tonight, but if I don't die tonight, how will I live tomorrow? And I think that's the relationship question that we want to ask. How do I live with Jesus, not how do I die and go to heaven? And so that's what we're going to talk about. So when we think about relationships, I started to do a little research. And so I looked on the internet, of course, which is where all good research happens. And I made the mistake of reading articles from women's magazines on the internet about relationships. And so I read 2 of those, and I thought, wow. Who would have ever thought that it was this complicated? And I read another one. I thought, man, it's a miracle that Melinda hasn't divorced me. And I read a couple more, and I thought, no, it's a miracle. She hasn't killed me in my sleep and burned the body. But you have to remember that my role model for relationships is my father. And my father was a farmer from North Alabama who became a truck driver, World War II veteran. And his idea of date night was Tuesday because gun smoke came on Tuesday. And so Dad would sit in his recliner and smoke cigarettes and watch gun smoke, and Mom would get to stand at the end of the couch and do the ironing and watch gun smoke whether she wanted to or not. That was Dad. And, you know, Dad's, you know, like men of his generation, we didn't talk about relationships and feelings and that kind of stuff. I'm not sure he had any that I saw, but I'm sure he did. And so he never really gave me a lot of advice about those kind of things. He gave me literally one time he gave me advice about relationships. And this was before Melinda and I got married. We were out in the garage working on his truck, doing something. And out of the blue, he said, I was talking about getting married or something. He said, well, son, sometimes you just have to ignore them. And so I wasn't sure I wanted to pursue that very far, so I didn't. I just let that. I'm not saying that I've practiced that, but that was his counsel. And so when it comes to, but you know, somehow that worked for them. Somehow, you know, they made it 66 years and seemed fairly happy. My dad got Alzheimer's in his last years, and he didn't know me, he didn't know my sisters, didn't know where he was, but he knew my mom. There was that connection there. If she was around, he was calm. If he couldn't see her, he got confused. And she tended to him. She, you know, all his life he couldn't find his socks without her. But even in his last years, you know, she cooked for him, she clothed him, she bathed him, she fed him, she did all those things that she did. And, you know, if you read the romance novels or you watch the movies, that may not look like love, but if that's not love, then I don't know what it is. and that worked for them. And that's the way relationships are. They're different for everybody. They're kind of complicated, but that's how it works. We all find our way that our relationship works. And I think that even applies to our relationship with God. There is this sense in which each of us finds our way. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we all know. Well, no, we don't all know it. But anyway, John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And the main point there, I think, is that this was God's idea first. If you talk about a relationship, you know, somebody has to initiate that. Somebody has to be the one who kind of drills up the courage and steps out and says, you know, "Hi, my name's Wayne," or whatever your name is, or initiates that relationship or asks for the date or whatever, all those things that take place in relationships. And what the scriptures tell us is that this was God's idea first, that he initiated it. And so when we think about how do I have a relationship with God, the hard part's already done. God has introduced himself to us. He has stepped into our lives and said, "I want to be in relationship with you." This is Trinity Sunday, and we don't talk about that a whole lot, but the whole idea of Trinity, this idea that God is three persons in one being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, tells us how important relationship is to God. God has always been in relationship. That's how he exists, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so he is the master at relationship. He probably knows more than those women's magazines that I read. Although it's not near as clear, they were pretty clear about stuff when you read this. But he knows about relationships. It's his idea. It's who he is. It's his invitation to us. And he never gives up on that. To be honest, he's kind of pesky about it sometimes. He will not allow us to wander away or to give up or to walk out of this relationship. I think we worry about that sometimes, but there's no need to. God loved us so much that he will do whatever it takes to have relationship with us, even if that means the death of his own son. He will find us. He will be with us. That's his promise. And so if that's true, and if I want to have a relationship with him, why is it so hard? Why do we struggle with it and wrestle with it so much? Why it seems like it should be simple, because I assume, which is a bad thing to do sometimes, that you're like me, that you want to be in relationship with God. That's why you're here. We want to be in that place. And I think that the problem is our expectations. When I think about being a Christian, especially early on, I thought, man, you know, I'm going to have a relationship with God and everything's going to be great. I'm going to love to read my Bible, and I'm going to learn how to pray so that I'm a prayer giant, and I'm going to enjoy the preaching, and all kinds of miracles like that are going to happen in my life. It's going to be easy to love people even when they're annoying. All these things are going to happen. And then when I became a Christian and I started following Jesus, it didn't happen. Not like I expected. And so we've got a little video. It's a short little clip. It's only about 12 seconds. But it's this idea about expectations and trust. Maybe you've heard of the trust fall, where you trust somebody and you fall and they catch you. Well, we've got just a little clip about that. So, Matt?
And close your eyes and just fall down, okay?
Don't worry. Okay, then Lauren's going to catch you.
Close your eyes. Okay.
Okay, it's called the trust fall. Okay, trust fall. Ready, set, go.
That's the perfect picture of my Christian life right there. We have this expectation about what it's going to be like, and it's not exactly what God had in mind. God has something different and, dare I say, better than what we expected. He wants to walk with us and live with us and be with us. And so I was thinking about this, and the fact that we are here this morning is a sign, but I believe that every person has a relationship with God. I believe that God is at work in every person all the time. It may be a bad relationship, maybe a little bit of tension there, maybe one that you ignore, but every person has a relationship with God in some form. And so the question is, I was thinking about this in my own life a few years ago, and there are kind of like three options here. I want to know God. God wants to know me, but it's sure not what I expected it to be. And so the first option is, I've really messed up, that I am so bad that God can't help me, that I'm just never going to experience that hope and joy and peace that God had for me. That's one option. Second option is, God ain't doing what he said he would do. He said he would forgive me. He would give me courage and strength and joy and hope and all these things, and he's not doing it. Or the third option is, this is it. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. With all these struggles and doubts and questions, all these things that I don't understand, with the fact that this is kind of boring sometimes, and I still don't know how to pray, and there's some people who get on my last nerve, this is just it. This is what it means to be in relationship with God. And I believe that that's the truth. And we need to celebrate, not regret or resent. Not allow the things that are not yet to make us miss the things that are. Grace is rich in our lives. God loves us with a love that we can't imagine, that we can't measure, that we can never walk away from. We are safe in his hands. We are never alone. He is always with us. And yeah, there's going to be some people who come along that I'm supposed to love, but I'll just avoid them. That'll be better than hating them, I guess. And there's going to be times when I don't understand the scriptures. But you know, I believe that you can love Jesus with all your heart and or as much of it as you can. And you can want to follow him and not read your Bible. I think there are some people, for reading, it's just not a big deal. They don't get anything out of it. And that's not because they don't love God or they don't want to learn. It's just how they learn. It's how they experience grace. And I think that there are people who will never really be great prayer warriors. And that's okay, because there are a lot of different ways to know God and to have a relationship with him. I think there are some essentials. I think we do have to trust him. And I don't know how you come to trust him unless you hear the story and you understand how much he loves you and what he's done for us. And so I'm not saying you don't need to know the story, but I'm saying sitting down and reading it, having a quiet time, may not be the way you build your relationship with God. I know for a long time that produced a whole lot more guilt than intimacy in my life. I believe that trust is part of it, and trust is something we choose. I believe that honesty is part of it. The idea that we admit to God, you know, this is not what I thought, but it's still pretty good. And I think that loving your neighbor is the only way it happens. I think you may not read the scripture and you may not pray, but if you don't love your neighbor, then you will not have a relationship with God that is growing. Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. 1 John says, how can you love God that you haven't seen if you don't love the brother that you do see? And so I think we kind of get the emphasis in the wrong places there. But every one of us is in a relationship with God. This is it. We celebrate it. We embrace it. We enjoy it. We don't reject any part of it because it's all part of our story. You know, for a long time, I struggled with God to try to get him to do what I wanted him to do. I wanted him to be a better God than he was. I mean, you can do better at this if you'll just work at it. And for some reason, he resisted that. A little pushback on that. And then I kept saying, I can do better than this. I can pray more or read my Bible more or be better. And then I think I came to the reality that this is it. God loves us just like we are, where we are. And no, we don't, you know, it can get richer and better and deeper. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we need to celebrate what is. That we are in a relationship with God that He is all in. He is sold out in loving us. He loves us with all His heart and soul and mind and strength. And He invites us to do the same. Warning to the musicians, we're almost done here. Still early, so don't want to catch you off guard. So this morning, our response to the message is going to be an invitation to the altar. I know that's old school, and we don't do that a whole lot, but I believe that there's a place for that. And so what we're going to do is, while we sing, is if you would like to come to the front and pray, you have that opportunity to do it. I don't know how that, I don't know if people still do that or not, but I think it's one way we can respond. So maybe this morning, you just want to affirm that you have, that you desire relationship with Jesus. And if you want to do that, come and pray at the altar and just say, yes, this is who I want to be. I recognize, I accept, I participate in this relationship that you offer me. Maybe for the first time, if you want to do that, I invite you to come. Maybe you've been in relationship with God for a long time and you just want to say, I'm glad I am. This is the life I choose. This is the life that I want. And I choose to continue to participate in this relationship with Jesus. And so what we're going to do is Pastor Laura and I will be up here. If you'd like to pray by yourself, if you'll come to this side of the altar. If you'd like for someone to pray with you, if you'll come over here and either sit in a chair or kneel at the altar here, either Laura or I will be more than glad to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are here because you love us. We didn't twist your arm or do the right incantation to get you to be here, but this was your idea. You initiated it. You chose us before we even knew about you. And we believe this morning, Father, that you have been present in our lives every moment all along the way. And we celebrate this grace, and we accept it, and we receive it, and we believe that it is ours to have and to hold. We thank you, Father, that you receive us wherever we are. Make these holy moments for those who need them. In Jesus' name.